Welcome, welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller. I am your host. I am coming at you in I call it the parsonage. I have this little room that I've kind of turned into my walk-in closet and podcasting room, and I live in a parsonage. I absolutely love it. It has been such an answer to prayer. We used to live in, well, when John and I were first married, by the way, my husband's name is John, if you did not know, and I'm Hannah Lynn Miller, your host, but I just cannot believe of like what kind of living situations we started off in, John and I. We lived in this tiny studio apartment. It was kind of separated. That's why I liked it when I was single. It was separated because there was like a little space for my bed, and then the kitchen separated the bedroom from the living room. So I thought that I could have more people over and they wouldn't be walking right into my bedroom, which was kind of awkward when you have a studio. And so I had gotten this apartment, and it was maybe like 2 weeks before John had started to have the conversation with me that like maybe the future was in the picture. And so I had signed this year-long lease, and so we legitimately lived in this studio apartment. It was 550 square feet apartment and square foot apartment. And I just like looking back, it was so fun when we were newly married, but looking back, I'm like, wow, that is so wild. And I remember getting like this tiny little IKEA closet for him because there was literally no space. And we still show it to people when they come, because I kind of use it now for the front entryway, the little closet to put like some of our jackets in it and everything. And it's a mirror. And I'm like, yeah, that's where John's clothes were. Like, that's all he had. So then when John got a job, we were 6 months married, and then we moved to be closer to the church that he's still a pastor of now. And we moved into an apartment that felt so big, but it was really 750 square foot apartment. I cannot say that right tonight. But I look back and I'm like so thankful for that space and the purpose that it served. I was truly ready to get out of that apartment by the end of 2022. And I remember praying so hard because we knew that this year I would not be able to work as much as I had in the past. I had a full-time job and I was going to start a media company. And kind of when you're doing a startup, you don't really want to pay yourself a full-time salary. And that's kind of what we ended up doing. And so, you know, funds are tight this year, and that's what we faced because I was doing school. I was starting a business, and we kept praying. And sure enough, I felt in my heart, and like my friends can vouch for this, I felt like something was going to change in August of 2022. I had prayed so hard. I did not want to move in with my parents. I love my parents, but you know, and I thought maybe that might be the answer, that might be what God would want us to do for a season. And I was like, so praying hard, like, dear God, please, I don't want to move back into my father's house. I just really don't. Love them to death. They're like my best friends, but I wanted to keep that relationship the way it is, you know? And, but I was like, you know, I'm willing to make the sacrifices if it's just for a short time while we save money and everything. And sure enough, like the Lord, my word for that year, if you remember, was faithful, that God is so faithful. And I am just still blown away by that whole story, because August, the church's parsonage just randomly opened up. That was not even on my radar. I like wasn't even thinking about that. And it happened so quickly that, you know, it could only be God. So anyways, I am in the parsonage. I am in my little walk-in closet. My cat, Karen, is sleeping really close by me because she is my BFF. She is always right next to either me or John. If John's in the house, she's usually by John, actually. But yeah, I just wanted to do this quick chat life update and just talk to you. I don't have any real content planned during this episode. Full disclosure, I still wanted to connect with you. I wanted to be able to talk to you and just say, hey, and I hope that you're having a great week. But I did want to share some life updates because I am going to be this weekend, I am going to be sending off my thesis. Well, my thesis is going to be going out next week. So it's going to be in front of a board and they have to approve it. And in the meantime, I'm working with my advisor to kind of tweak everything that I need to. And it's just been a whole process. And thank you for all of you who have joined me on it. And I wanted to share some fun facts that I did learn from this journey of writing this thesis. It was really fascinating. I feel like I can write a thesis way better now. And at least the research, I feel like I know a little bit more of what I'm doing now with conducting a study. So that's exciting. And, you know, that's the purpose of doing this thing. But I did want to share a little bit. And so that's part of the update. The other thing that I wanted to share is that my exam that's going to set me up to be licensed is this weekend. It's Sunday. So that's happening Sunday. My thesis is due either Monday or Friday, depending on how motivated I am. But yeah, so those two things are happening and those are kind of the two big things left for this degree. And I am tired. So that's why I was like, I am going to put out a podcast because I've been trying to do it every other week. And I know that some of you are looking forward to it and connecting. And I love that. Thank you so much. And I hope that, you know, if you have any friends who enjoy the same things that we do, that you send this podcast along to them. But I wanted to connect with you still, even though it's been crazy busy. So I thought this would be a fun chat. And I wanted to share with you some things that I learned from doing my research with my thesis. And then some life lessons that I learned from being a therapist in training, because the last year I've been in an internship and it's been quite an eye-opening experience. And also, you know, I've been working towards this licensure since I was 18, because I went to school, undergrad was in counseling, and then my master's, you know, in counseling. And so I've really been working a long time for this. But my master's, you know, I've been working towards this degree. It's hard with life. You know, life just throws things at you and you're like, okay, I'm going to try and follow through. I'm going to be faithful with what the Lord has given me, what is on my heart. And it did take me 5 years to get through master's. All along the way, I've been a pastor's wife. I got married. Lots of things have happened, the pandemic, and I worked a full-time job where I was getting up at 3 a.m. So a lot of things happened. And so these are a few things that I learned along the way, and I just wanted to share them with you. But first, here's what I learned with the thesis. The big thing, the big takeaway for me, so like I'm an oldest daughter, and there was a few things that I felt like I wanted to study and I felt like I didn't know myself enough. And so they always tell you with the thesis, it's a lot easier if it's something that's personal to you that you're passionate about. And I have a lot of friends that are girls who are eldest daughters. And whenever we get together, I actually grew up with quite a few of my friends were the eldest of their families. And we always talk about how similar we are, where we're very independent. There's a few other like really interesting things, very responsible. And it's so interesting because we think very similarly. And my husband's the oldest too of his family. So I was just interested in studying this topic. And I realized actually as I kept researching that there's really not too much data on the eldest daughter. There's a ton of data on the eldest sons, because most military, you know, most of the military out there, for centuries has been majority men, right? So they have a ton of data through the military. So they know that the eldest son typically has a higher IQ than the second oldest, and then the second oldest has a higher IQ than the third oldest, and that goes on and on. But there's not too much to be said about the eldest daughter, and there has been a few random studies. It's not random, but like there's only like three or four that I really could find that stood out that was very interesting. One was about college and how women felt so not prepared, not supported in college. And there was a couple of interviews that were very interesting because a lot of the times those who felt the most not supported, kind of confused, not knowing where they measured up was oldest daughters. Because a lot of times if you don't see someone in your family who has gone to college, I mean, that's terrifying anyways. And then on top of that, being a female in the academic setting can be really intimidating. And so there's a study on that, which is fascinating. But yeah, so a lot of times you got to remember that eldest children don't have a roadmap. So they have a lot more anxiety and they're a lot more cautious and they can be a lot more rigid. And it's all, and maybe sometimes they are more obsessive over control, which are all very common tendencies. But my study was done mostly to look at some of the relationships in the family system that will help the eldest daughter. Because again, the eldest daughter does tend to have more perfectionism, there's a lot of eating disorders that can come and stem from the pressure that the eldest daughter goes through. They are usually the ones that carry the emotional stability of a family, which is not always great. It's not good, but that's just kind of what happens sometimes. And that's different than the eldest son. So I found that really interesting. So my study was more on the relationship between mom and eldest daughter, which is so fascinating. And what I came to find, I did two studies. One had a little bit more of where the daughters, you could see, kind of suffered a little bit more with their mental health. And that study also reflected that the relationship with the mom was not totally healthy as well. And so that was a correlation. Across the board, both studies that I did conducted, both of them showed that the mom, that perfectionism was really high. And that's just a character trait. So the second study that I did, and this is the one that was approved and is on my study and on my thesis. But that one was full of 31 interviews, 31 participants. And these eldest daughters said that a majority of them had a good relationship with their mom. And then that correlated to a majority of them had pretty good mental health going on. So it was very fascinating. So the eldest daughter really does need that support from mom. And I don't know if that's how all the kids are, if that's a correlation between all children that depending on their birth order, but I think especially for the eldest daughter, because they take a lot of cues from mom, you know, a lot of times they are the ones who are helping out a lot more. And so that support must be really important. And so that's what the study showed. And I think that that was really cool to see and kind of beautiful too. And yeah, so that was the big thing that I learned from this study. And I can see that reflecting in my life too. I really think that, you know, my mom, I'm probably the closest to, not the closest, like my mom does a really good job as being close to each one of her kids. But I would say that she's the person that I would call first if I had a hard day or hard time. And I think that's just because my siblings are younger and that's just what it is. And so I think that that was a really cool outcome of the study. But yeah, it's definitely a place where I would like to do more study and more work with. But I kind of focused on that little part of the eldest daughter and seeing what helps their mental health. And apparently mom helps. So if you are an eldest daughter or you have one, you know, spend some time together, because I think that's really important. So I think one of my favorite quotes from the study is from another study that I found, and I really enjoy this quote, but I think that it just kind of proves that eldest daughters are definitely different than firstborn boys, and it goes like this. So eldest children are 7% more likely to be successful academically than their later born siblings. But of that 7%, the eldest daughters are going to be 13% more likely to achieve success than firstborn boys. And this is according to a study done by Dr. Bo of the University of Essex in England. And the reason why this is so fascinating is because that shows that the eldest daughter is the most motivated, self-motivated, and driven out of any person in the birth order. And I think that that just goes to show that we're a special breed. We are special, and that we don't always get seen and don't ever always get heard. And my favorite thing is to have a client who is the eldest in their family, because a lot of times they come in because they don't have anybody to talk to, especially if they don't have a good relationship with mom. So I think that that just shows that these power-driven women are just amazing people, and that they deserve support and love and respect. And so I really enjoyed studying this topic. Of course, it's personal to me, but I thought that it was really helpful, and I thought I would share with you because you helped me out. Some of you took the surveys, and I'm really, really thankful for that. So thank you. So writing my thesis was probably about 2% of my year. The rest of it was spending time with clients. And this was the first time, you know, this year was the first time me being face-to-face with clients. And I just felt like it was such a growing experience. I mean, it truly is. Thinking about when I took my first techniques class, it was 2020. And so it's been a while since I've had my techniques class and other classes. And so there's so much growth. Like, I can look back and say, wow, I changed so much. And so these are some life lessons from being a therapist in training that I've learned personally. And it has nothing to do with me. I think it's just the experience of sitting in front of another human, just being human and sharing human things. It's so life-changing. And I think that's a big thing that I missed at my other job. I felt like there was so much, you could easily get so prideful, I think, because you're so far removed from other people. Like, the schedule separates you from people. You're just talking into a mic. You don't actually see real people that you're talking to. That's why I really loved the events when I did them. But yeah, radio was so impersonal at the same time, so it could get kind of confusing. But it's so cool to be able to sit in front of another individual and just be able to hear their story. So I think the first lesson that I learned from being a therapist in training was that it is such an honor to be in that space and to sit in front of another individual and hear their story. It's such an honor. Like, I do not take lightly the fact that somebody shares their deepest thoughts with me. I think that is something that it's so humbling. So that's the first thing. I remember that happening the first time I sat with a client, just being like, wow, I cannot believe that I get to be the person who hears that story. The second thing is, like, talk therapy really does work. And the best part about it is it has nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing to do with me. It usually has to do with the client in front of me. Like, when the client is ready and willing and wants to work on themselves, like, there's no stopping them, and there's really nothing that I can do, basically. It's just the presence and reshaping and kind of reflecting back what that person says and being there full of empathy, like it's crazy how much that really does work and being able to connect dots. But it's already stuff that, you know, my client has said. And so I'm like, these are your words, you know? And I think that when you see somebody like a client really click with what they need to do next or a realization about themselves or their past or their future, like it is truly a really holy moment. Like it really is. That goes into my third point, that I really think that therapists do the work of Jesus. They truly meet people where they're at without judgment. And I just think it's a very holy thing. I think most churches probably need more of this mental health training. And that's kind of why I got into it. Like, I just feel like the church needs more of this. And it's truly an honor. And I feel like it's something that Jesus did all the time. And then the fourth thing is that women are freaking strong. Like, the things that women have to go through is unbelievable. And that's not to say much about like my male clients, but women are just the stuff that they have to deal with. Let me just tell you, it is insane the stuff that women have to deal with. Girls, what girls have to deal with, young adults. I am so passionate about young women knowing their value and sticking to it and understanding who they are in Christ. And I love it because I get to be their cheerleader. I get to be someone who advocates for them or helps them advocate for themselves. And I'm obsessed. It is truly an honor. And the things that women go through is unbelievable to me. And that they are just strong people. Like, that's all. They shouldn't have to be that strong, but that's all. That's all I have to say about that. Fifthly, I really do love the college age client. I think that there's so much hope and there's so much life there. And even though, like, a lot of times you're dealing with a lot of like depression and suicidal ideation, like, I really do enjoy working with college age kids, even though there can be a lot of, you know, just overwhelming feelings and it can probably feel dark for a lot of my clients. But I see so much hope and so much beauty and so much life there. So I've really enjoyed working in a college setting. Really, really love it. And maybe someday I'll do it again. Six, I think it's just made me a better person. I think there's very few helping professions that actually make you a better person. I think one of them is being a nurse in certain situations and then also being a therapist. I think it's the environment you're around just encourages better mental health. It makes you a better person. And somebody told me that pastors, it doesn't. It makes your mental health worse. And I totally, totally can see that. But I'm thankful because I definitely have seen like a better version of myself through this work. The seventh lesson that I learned, I worked through a ton of perfectionism. And I struggle to even say that it's or call it perfectionism. And here's why. I guess because I'm a perfectionist. And so I'm like, you're not a perfectionist because nothing's ever good enough. So I think I really struggle. When it comes out in the fact that I avoid looking at my grades. I avoid getting criticism back. I avoid a lot of things, especially that's why school can be really hard for me. And I don't always have the procrastination that can sometimes happen in perfectionism. It's more of just like, I don't want to look at my grades and I just want to avoid it. But I really worked through a lot of that. I wish it was sooner, but it's really hard to, you know, not be willing to work on yourself and learn how to be a better therapist, you know, if this is the first time that you've ever done it. And so I remember having to tell myself that so many times, like, Hannah, you've never done this before. It's okay to suck at this, you know? And I think that is what a lot of perfectionists deal with is not having enough. And also eldest daughters have to work through that a lot. It's okay to not know what you're doing right away and to learn and then work your way up. And I think I worked through a lot of that in this program, and I wish that I had learned it sooner, but you know, such is life. But yeah, that is something that I really worked through. There's a couple other things that I really learned about myself through this program. And this isn't just with sitting with clients. This is me doing my own soul work. So a lot of the program can be you doing your own work. And so that was what I learned through the program. We had a diversity. Well, we had one diversity class, and it was good because it actually forces you to talk about your own culture and background. And, you know, because I'm white, I don't usually dig into this very much, but I think it was really good for me to see that I do have kind of like a background culture that I did grow up in. And actually, I probably have more culture than most Caucasian people because I grew up in a pretty conservative German background type of a church where my grandpa remembered church being preached in German. And so that wasn't it wasn't that long ago. And they stopped kind of associating with Germany because of the World War II. So then, you know, I never really realized that that's where everything came from until finding out that my grandpa used to listen to church service in German. But yeah, it's kind of an Anabaptist movement that I grew up in. And so learning about that and then also having a few conversations with other people in my program and realizing that that's kind of a religious minority when you grew up in kind of more of a conservative background. There are some symptoms if you leave that culture and so I was working through a little bit of that and was able to look back on, you know, my faith heritage with kindness and more peace, I think. And I think that was really cool. And I think of it more as like a culture that I came from. I do really appreciate the culture that I came from. So I was able to like really learn about that. And maybe I'll talk about it more in later podcasts. But that was something I worked through. Another thing was giving myself more grace, my younger self more grace, because studying, you know, birth order and being the eldest, like it's like I didn't have a life map. And you can really tell. I didn't know what I was doing and with life, especially in my 20s. And no one really does. But the thing that is so interesting that I've found when I talk to clients is that when they are the younger sibling, they're constantly comparing themselves to other people. And they keep asking, why do I do this? Why do I do this? And to me, it makes a lot of sense because, and I help them get to that point, but it makes a lot of sense to me because they're constantly comparing themselves to their older sibling, and that's their guide map, and it was comfortable, and now they don't really have that, or they're trying to break away from it, where the oldest is literally just trying to figure out where to go. They're like a lost puppy, okay? And I completely relate to that. And so seeing a lot of my clients come in and being the eldest and having just being able to relate. And obviously I don't say this to my clients, but just being able to relate and say it to myself and be like, yeah, Hannah, you were feeling the same way at that some point. And feeling like I'm not alone in that. Like it's been cool. And I've been able to, you know, really use some of my skills to help that client give some grace to themselves and say, you know, you don't have an older sibling to look up to, and you know, you don't have somebody to learn from, and that's okay. And you're also learning this stuff just like your parents are learning this stuff for the first time, and that's okay. And don't be so hard on your, like, giving a lot of empathy and grace has been really cool for me to be able to do, because I wish I would have had that at that age, you know. So that's something that I've really been working on for myself. And then I learned how to expect more from people around me, setting better boundaries. I think that's been a huge one. And just being able to say, this is what I expect from people who are in my close circle, I guess. And that's been really cool for me, like sticking up for myself. The thing that has been the easiest for me. So that's been really cool because you're learning a lot about boundaries and conversations in classes has been really helpful. I also learned how to ask for help. I think a big thing for me this year has been really like asking John to step up with house things and like helping me with stuff. Like that is not easy for, I hate that. I love being self-sufficient. I don't like not being able to do things, but I just couldn't cook dinner this year. That's what I decided. I was like, I am not going to be able to do that, you know? And, you know, when I was single, I ate like popcorn and like, I don't know, chicken noodle soup and stuff. And so when John and I got married, it felt like a lot of pressure. And so when I took on starting a business and then having an internship that ended up being a ton of time, and then also having classes that I didn't plan on having, I needed help and I asked him for it and he has really stepped up and that's been really something cool and really helpful for me to see. And those are the things that I really learned about myself. And the ninth lesson is that I am so proud of my younger self. Like I am so thankful that I did this. Before I met John, I was very, very single, super single. That's what I like to say. And I remember talking to my mom. I had actually dated a guy who was a therapist. And I remember thinking, like, I would love to do what he does. And I had taken a break from, you know, counseling and everything. But that's something that I really wanted to do. And then I just got burnt out from school. And so I took a break between undergrad and my master's. And my mom had just kind of encouraged me to get back into it. And so it was January that I signed up. It was December that I signed up and January that I started the classes. And that's the exact month that I met John. So he has not known me without school. So it's going to be cool to be able to get through this season, guys. I'm so excited. But I'm so proud of myself for actually taking that step back in 2018 and starting these classes. Because honestly, if I would have known how much work this was and how hard, I don't think I would have done it. I still would have regretted not doing it, but I don't think I would have done it. And sometimes that's how it is. I think that sometimes that's why it's good that we don't know everything. And it's good that Jesus, God knows everything and that we can't see the future. Because, you know, how many things would we not do from fear and from just the pure overwhelming feeling of life and the things that do happen and how hard things actually are. I knew it was going to be hard, but man, I don't know. This was hard. I think getting your master's or doing school and doing life at the same time is super difficult. If my friends ever go back to school to get a master's or any kind of certification, anything, I'm going to be their biggest cheerleader because honestly, this has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, it was harder. This has been harder than waking up at 3 a.m. for 7 years. Okay. That says a lot. And some people love school. Not me. Please. I'm ready to be in front of people and talk to them and listen to them and be the best therapist ever. But please get me out of school. I am so done with writing papers. I need a good long break. So anyways, guys, this is my little life update for you. I'm gonna get this thesis done and hopefully passed. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to pass the NCE. So thank you so much for listening. I just hope that whatever you're up to, whatever you got going on, I hope that, you know, you're encouraged with my story and how God is faithful. He's faithful through the hard things. And he, you know, he sees the future and we don't. And there's a reason, because sometimes it is a little too difficult to fathom. It would scare us. We would never do anything. And so I've got like 3 more weeks of this big faith jump that I took 5 years ago. And I am truly, truly, truly thankful that I did it and that the Lord has just been in it all the way through. Perfect timing. So many perfect timing things. And maybe I'll share about that more in the future. But if you don't hear from me for a little bit, do not go away. Keep checking your email if you get the email updates for each podcast. If you do not, you can always go to hannahlynnmiller.com/subscribe. You can also go to youarecoveredpodcast.com, and there's multiple ways that you could subscribe through that page. Please get on the email list. I love chatting with you. I do send you quite a few updates, and I definitely send you when a new episode is up and some of the show notes and stuff. So keep checking your email. You can also follow me on Instagram at Hannah Lynn Miller on everything. All social media platforms is Hannah Lynn Miller. And then you can also follow the podcast. That's where I try to give you more resources and things to check for the show. You Are Covered podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Okay, well, thank you for joining me. God's got you, and you are covered. See you in the next episode.